Good morning, this is Countrywide. On today's programme, the county leash farmer who's starring in the new McDonald's TV ad.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got.
We filmed here on the 14th of February from 6:30 in the morning until 6:30 in the evening. But there's an awful amount of takes, maybe 20 or 30 times. I had my own wardrobe person for the day, and if my wife had to see me now, she would have left. This is a whole new experience on you.
Your name. We mark 60 years of Fróga, nurturing young people throughout the country.
The way they cry was like a real baby, and I couldn't get a lot of sleep. So, like, sometimes they cry, sometimes it needs diaper change.
It's definitely going to teach me not to want kids so soon and to be protective.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountain side.
And we celebrate the golden voice of Frank Patterson with his son Aenon, who's our studio guest. You can contact us on countrywide@rte.ie, text me on 51551. We're on Twitter at RTE Countrywide, and for Twitter comments, we're at hashtag RTECW.
You must go and I must buy.
But first to the news that there's been a 100% increase in just 4 years in the number of Leaving Cert students looking to study ag science after they leave school.
I still go to the supermarket, but my bill is a lot less than it was a couple of years ago.
This is Dublin-born mother of four, Fiona Dillon. And this is her back garden in her home of 13 years in County Carlow. Ducks, geese, hens and pigs all roam freely and live in harmony in this one-acre garden amongst vegetables, fruit trees and beehives.
That's my only rule. Everybody has to be chilled and relaxed. Yeah.
This is a classic self-sufficient household with enough fresh produce growing and being reared to feed the Dillon family of six.
I think one of the most important things that I have done is taught my children about food.
From farm to fork is a mere 50 metres. This week, I dropped by Hunter's Lodge and Fiona took me on a tour of her rather noisy but bountiful back garden.
Okay, well, let me introduce Mahatma Gandhi.
Mahatma Gandhi, is it?
Mahatma Gandhi and his wife Willow Goose. They're pets, and as you can see, they alert me to any new visitors to the house.
So you don't need a guard dog?
I don't need a guard dog, no, because he'll do it for me.
Surge in our bookings. I was doing a press, doing the results release in London, and of course I was sitting there going through the results. What's the next in-flight thing? Well, the next in-flight is we need cheap broadband so the people can use their iPads and their iMacs and all the stuff on board the aircraft. And what will they watch? I said, whatever they'll watch, whatever's on their systems. So the kids will watch cartoons and the mums will be on entertainment channels and the dads will be on porno channels. And your man from the Sun perked up and said, what's that? Are you going to have porn on your planes? Well, I said, if it's on your laptop, yes, it'll be porn on the planes. Next thing, I landed in the States that evening. The Sun had a sign, Ryanair, porn on planes. It went around the internet, around the world. We got the biggest spike in hits on the website, bookings on the internet, everybody checking out porn on the Ryanair website and going, God, it's only $10.99 airfare, I'll book it. So there's almost no such thing as bad publicity, to be fair, unless it's related to safety.
Listen, a lot of business people, they work off the mantra, the customer's always right. Mm. Do you believe in that?
Funnily enough, no. I think the customer is frequently wrong. I mean, in Ryanair, we have a great customer service ethos.
Right?
No, I mean, I'm always wrong. But the great thing about Ryanair is we recognise when we're wrong quickly and we stop it.
Well done, Evan Durkin there. We'll have a chat with you, as I said, in a little while. Father Danjo, that's a carol there that I suppose focuses in on the religious aspect of Christmas. How do you feel on Christmas morning when you stand up in your church out in Laura Lodge and see the place full of people that you don't see for 12 months of the year?
Well, they're most welcome, number one. That's the important thing, I think. That's very important because a lot of people are home as well, Damien, for Christmas. You know, they come from England, all over the world, really, nowadays especially. They come for a variety of reasons, but they're home for Christmas and it's really a family time. We have... And the night before, we have had 3 masses the night before for the kids, for the adults, we call them, and for the seniors, if you like, at 11 o'clock. So it's non-stop the whole time, but the music is brilliant. I think music makes the whole thing there.
But out in Laurel Lodge, you have a sort of a record out there that you fill the church every Sunday.
We do.
And why is that, or how are you doing it and other churches?
Well, I suppose we're treading on the steps of a guru called Father Eugene Kennedy, a Longford man, by the way, a great man. We have great crack with him. And he was a brilliant man. And then McCullen, the present parish priest, carried on that tradition. And I suppose there's great track and teamwork between us and all the rest. And the music is very good. We have fantastic. We nearly always have live music at Masses.
Yeah, but you have the best attendance of any church in the Dublin Diocese every Sunday. It must be very heartening for you compared to other priests
Damien, you see, I think our church in Laurel Lodge is warm. Some of the other churches are like fridges, not to any fault of their own, but the buildings are so high. It's warm, it's intimate, it's new, it's modern, etc. And the music is brilliant.
Mairead, what do you make of Archbishop Dermot Martin's recent remarks with regard to Alec Hart Catholics?
Well, I've an awful lot of time for Archbishop Dermot Martin, but I think, you know, he's got this one slightly wrong. I remember a priest at home always said that it's better to fan a spark all the time than just put it out. And no matter what that spark is, if people come to the church, the fact that they come in at all, that is a spark. It's a spark that's there to be fanned. And it shouldn't just be because you don't turn up every Sunday or you don't turn up all the time that you're not welcome. I mean, I think all through the Bible.
It's a cool, crisp Thursday morning, and I'm standing on a farm here in Inishdeag in County Kilkenny. And this farm, like about 30,000 other farms all over the country, is very busy right now because it's lambing season. And lambing in this country started at the beginning of January, will peak on the 17th of March, and finish near the end of April. And during that time, 2.5 million lambs will be born in Ireland. The farm in question here is belonging to James and Chrissy Murphy, and I'm going to pop in now and see just how busy they are in the sheep maternity unit. James, how are you? Not too bad. This is the maternity ward, is it?
This is the maternity ward. This is where most of the action happens now this time of the year. We start the general lamb.
To get shorthand and typing. So Cormac got a contact for me down in the west of Ireland. So I started down in the west of Ireland. So that linked the three of us.
So you didn't start in the Fermanagh Herald like the other two?
No, I didn't. Okay. No, I had no white-haired senator looking after me. No.
Well, it was after you went in, Mickey, just said, don't send me any more of those McConnells. Is that probably...
Well, I thought the news that they couldn't improve on perfection after I'd been there for a few years.
Was it preordained, Mickey, that you would all, I suppose, eventually forge your careers outside of the North?
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, there was nothing for us there. There was nothing for us.
We were driven out, as simple as that, young nationalist people. There was no future for us.
There was nothing for us there.
We were bred for export. But we were also raised by our parents to try and stay in the country, even if it meant going to the Free State, as they used to call it up there. As long as you could stay on the island, even if the state was keeping it there, incarcerated or anything else, staying on the island was the thing. And
it was a great pride to be able to stay on the island.
But was your house a strongly nationalist or republican house?
It was nationalist. Strongly nationalist, not republican, but you have to say that in the north, in Fermanagh, and you're close enough my birthplace, I think, to know this, there was then a grey zone. There was an overlap between nationalist and republican.
But Sean, like when you left, I mean, did you... I know you're very proud of your roots, but did you have to hide them or try and forget about your roots to any point, you know, when you were working in the South?
Yeah, well, actually...
For example, your accent is not distinctly northern.
Northerners weren't particularly welcomed at that stage. And if you were calling up Port Leash Garda Station to find out about the latest breakout, it was a lot easier if you kind of didn't betray your roots, you know. And even to this day, Northerners are, we're trouble, let's face it. Look at the boys here, look at the pair of heads on them. Look at the subversive way they get on, Mickey with his songs and Cormac with all this kind of stuff. We are trouble.
And occasionally, even in this genteel house of many counties and cultures, a poor old northerner can get stabbed between the shoulder blades and the honk awful often as well, and savagely so.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time maybe to make reference to a very...
time to move on.
to I suppose Mickey's best-known song actually came from that northern experience.
When apples still grow in November, when blossoms...
There's not long to go now as the countdown continues to the biggest summer beauty pageant of its kind anywhere in the country. The finest and the fairest in the land are being prepared and pampered to look their most gorgeous on the big day.
A good shampoo all over and then wash it all off. And then when we're doing the top line and clipping her, we blow it up the top nice and level. And then we take all the hair off her body as well.
As usual, the judges will have a tough job picking the one with the best lines and best curves from this lineup of the country's most beautiful, most elegant females, all in their prime.
She has great legs and feet. She's, you know, a really angular frame on her. You know, she's not carrying any extra weight at the minute. I'm sure still, hopefully, she'll show for another 2 or 3 years or even a little bit more with a bit of luck.
We are, of course, talking about the Bailey's Champion Cow Contest, which takes place at the Virginia Show in Cavan next Saturday.
We milk 60 cows here and heifers and rear some bulls as well.
Philip Jones is a young farmer from Killone near Gorey in County Wexford, and he's preparing to bring the best of his herd of Holstein Friesians to next Saturday's bovine beauty pageant.
I'm a Rossi through and through. You know, I'm very fortunate to be from Roscommon. I love being from Roscommon. I think the world begins with Roscommon. I'm from Roscommon, I just love the place.
Oh, just in case you didn't know, Paddy Joe is kind of fond of where he comes from.
So fortunate to be living and working in the greatest city in the world, Roscommon, 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 Roscommon.
Will you be able to do a job of me?
We will. We'll take a bit off. Do you know, I have a lovely man coming into me, Damien. And I love what he says to me when I just say to him, Jimmy, how much off? He says, can I have a haircut that looks 3 weeks old going out?
Got a bottom oven, which doesn't get that hot. So he was very, very weak when he was born. So I brought him in, put him in newspaper and put him in the bottom oven, as we call it.
Mm.
And an hour later he comes out and he shakes himself, and I'm feeding him since. And I would get up now in the middle of the night to feed him and the whole lot.
Right, okay.
Every year I have pet lambs.
Now, what's his name?
His name is Chops.
Oh, jeez, there's something very inevitable about that.
My daughters at home laugh every year because I go out to the back door after a while when he gets a bit bigger. And
he's all right there now. I'm just looking at him. He's grand. He's running around here.
I think he's after doing something, though.
Oh, crikey. Kenny, you'll have to clean that up when he comes in here on Monday morning.
I stand at the back door and I shout, Chops, dinner, come in. And he comes running for his bottle.
Okay, listen, your father's here with you, Tom Feeney. Tom, how are you doing?
Good morning to you.
Good man. Now listen, Gus, if I was, and I'm not, by the way, but if I was, you know, in the market for a woman, and I was too shy to go and ask one and I wanted to be, what's the procedure? Fill me in now. What happens?
Well, for a start, Damien, you wouldn't be on that league because with that blonde hair and blue eyes, you know what I mean? You'd be well spoken for by now.
Okay, thanks.
But as late as yesterday even, a fella rang me up, a local man from Trim. He's a cattle dealer.
Right.
And the Trim County Meath.
Bit shy,
but not around the ring. If he's buying an animal, he's not shy. But and he'd look at the animal front and behind and everything else. But yesterday when he took the plunge of ringing me up and looking for a girl. He's getting a bit lonely. February can be a lonely time, you know what I mean?
36.
He might be getting a bit of age about him as well, is he?
He's 36.
He's 36 years of age. He's a farmer, a cattle dealer, sheep dealer, the whole lot.
Has a car and a lorry.
You're kind of narrowing it down now, so
He doesn't mind him saying he's looking for any kind of a girl.
Right.
It shouldn't have to be a farm and shouldn't have to have any farm connections.
See, Damien, sorry, just you take a fella of 36, right? This
yes.
guy. Where does he go to meet a girl? Does he go to the disco? Because the disco is full of, we'll say, 20-year-olds, so too young. So they have to come to Gus and Tom
yes.
here.
Yes. You know, So I just want to know what is the. So he's gone to you. So what are you doing now?
Now, we know what he's like. Saying we'd interview him, myself and Tom, and talk to him, right? And then we'll match like with like. We have other girls we speak to say.
Do you have a list?
No, I wouldn't say a list. We have them in our head. You know, we keep all in our head, really, because we don't write anything down, really.
Right, yeah. Okay.
So we would.
Damn protection.
We would meet. We would match like with like. Wouldn't match a big tall fella.
We're a little bit younger now.
Yeah, well, maybe.
You say you wouldn't match a tall fellow with what?
With a small one, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You know what I mean? You wouldn't put a big...
Skinny fellow with a fat one. Or...
You wouldn't put a big... You wouldn't put a big cart on a small horse, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Anyways, we'd meet like with like, you know what I mean? Preferably, I've said, looks and size and height and whatnot, you know what I mean?
Money, finance?
Well, it doesn't come into it.
Okay.
No, this is about love. Love, the word love, right? L-O-V-E, right?
Yeah.
On and on.
So anyway, you arrange a meeting and what happens?
We arrange a meeting, right, in a public area, right?
Yeah.
You know, not in a snug like Tom was on, but there.
Well, we're out in the street, like, no?
A hotel.
Okay,
Have a cup of tea.
A GA game, horse racing, anything, rugby game, anything you want, right?
Yeah.
Anywhere there'll be a lot of people. So what we do is we would bring them along there. And we'd all be, in fairness, minding the lady, because she's some mammy's daughter.
Yes.
And she comes number one. So we would have your man up at the, wherever it be, the GA field or whatever else, when the game be on, and we'd say to the girl, that's him over there.
See,
okay.
She might let the secret look before she did.
Yes.
Oh, right. So before you introduce him, you give her a little sneak preview.
She could say at the stage.
A sideline view.
Oh, yeah.
Sideline view.
She could say at the stage, no, that's not on.
No, it don't like it.
On. Yes. So you know from there, you take it from there.
And she didn't have to say no straight to his face.
Yeah.
Okay, to embarrass both of them. So then you put them together and...
Yeah.
Then we'd stay with them for an hour, a half hour there and just talk along, have a cup of tea with them. And then we'd give them an hour or two for themselves.
Yeah. But by the way, can I just say to listeners, I don't mean to be smart with this. This is real now. This is not fun. It sounds a bit of crap, but this is real. Tom Feeney in Trim, if anyone wants to ring you up. Yeah,
this is real.
In Dunderry, actually.
In Dunderry, Dunderry.
And there's another thing, it doesn't cost any money. We don't charge any money.
Okay, and you just like an invite to the
sorry for cutting in. We have two weddings to go to this year.
Right.
We have one down in Limerick where we're going to this year.
And these are people that you match.
Yes, I'm saying it's not alone me. County Meath, we have people in Mayo, people in Limerick, we have people in Cork.
Is it becoming popular again then, Tom? Because it's free and it doesn't cost anything and it's open and
it's quite
and it's not on farmers. And we have nurses, we have teachers. Teachers.
Because you know it's coming back in America. I was just reading that people are willing to pay, you know, the matchmakers now are big in the States, you know that?
Headhunters
of the heart is what they call themselves.
We don't charge any money. What we do is we get an invitation to the wedding and maybe put up for the night and maybe a few jars.
We love an invitation to the wedding.
Do you really?
There's an old saying, going to one wedding is the makings of another.
Sure, that's right, yeah.
And listen, what advice would you have, Tom, now?